You remember a few weeks ago, I said that today we would have a guest speaker, and he is here, and he's gonna be a little different. But before we get to him, I need to really just get you up and have a couple of things that I would like to talk to you today. For the last few weeks, we have been talking about your identity, this idea of creating a resolution that is really fitting to you. We in the first sermon, I talk about how God created you uniquely. There's no one like you. I even post on Facebook this week. Live your life because all the other lives that there is to live, there has already been taken by somebody else, right? Just be really you. Be who you were created to be. God made you uniquely. So you ought to appreciate that. And to live life and to make resolutions based on the life of somebody else, that is such a mistake, a waste of your time, a waste of your resources. God created you to be who you are. The following week, we talked about just the importance of seeking God's will and creating a resolution. So many times we think about what is it that I want for myself, and God is like, no, I have a plan for you. I have created you, I have given you purpose, and I have a plan for you. So we ought to pray and ask God for His will and search the scripture for God's will for our lives, and creating a resolution that is based on God's plan for us leads us to live a more successful life. And not only that, accomplish the resolutions that we have proposed to accomplish in our lives. Last week, I know we didn't have service because of the snow, but I went online and I talked about the importance of just planning, a thoughtful planning. And that one specific video, I talked about the importance of praying before coming up with your plans for your resolution. Thoughtful prayer is important. And I don't only talk about the importance of praying through as you plan to accomplish your resolution. I also talked about the power of habits. Right? Habits only have comes to us, and we do things without even know we're doing them. I read a quote from a scholar that says that when we our habits, we don't even think when we're doing them. Our minds are focusing on other things. So we already do our habits automatically. It's not something that we pay attention to. It just happens to us. We just obey its order. You can go back on Facebook and listen to that video, and the rest of the sermons is on the church website. Today, though, I want to talk about today the importance of planning carefully your resolution, right? But to plan carefully, yes, that's right. I said you have to plan prayerfully, and today I want to say you need to plan it carefully. There must be some intention as you put your resolutions together. So many times there is no intentionality on us on living life, and let alone in coming up with resolutions or accomplishing those resolutions in our lives. And I think the Proverbs has like this great way of teaching us, giving us a step and being successful on our thoughtful planning in order to accomplish the resolutions that we have set out to do. We all have done resolutions, haven't we? I mean, by now you have had your resolutions. And here's the thing about resolutions, right? Is that we go on to them so hastily and without planning and preparing ourselves that we find that we fail often. And I think the Proverbs gives us a way of out from failing. Let's read it together. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 27 tells us this: prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. I mean, God is so good, and He gives us like everything we need through His word. And even here, He gives us the steps in order to accomplish a plan that's thoughtful, but is helpful in order for you to accomplish your resolutions. So I don't know if you picked up on the words, but I'll tell you what the words are. The first word is prepare. Before you can go on planning your resolution in order to accomplish that, you have to be prepared. But it's not only being prepared, it's getting ready. See, he says, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that you build. So here in Proverbs, it tells us, listen, before you go on doing action, before you can go on building, you have to prepare and get ready. I ask you the question, what is the difference between being prepared and being ready? What is the difference between being prepared and ready? Do you want to talk to me? You can go ahead and give it a shot. There's no right or wrong answer here, right? There's just Sam's answer. There he goes. That's how it rolls in my house, and that's how I roll right here. Not true. Being prepared is knowing what to expect. Awesome. What else? What if being prepared is knowing what to expect, what is being ready? Okay, good. Yes to both. So let me tell you how I see this, okay? Being prepared, let me tell you a little story. Back in 2003, 2004, I don't remember when I was working at a college. I was going to a college in Rochester, Minnesota, and the guy, I was working in maintenance, and one of the guys came to me and said, like, hey, Sam, we need to cut a tree. Do you know how to cut a tree? What is the answer? Yes! Always yes! Are you kidding me? All these guys' muscle and your tools and all this stuff. There comes Sam and he says, Sam, can you cut a tree? The answer is yes. It should have been no, but I said, oh yeah, I know how to do this, all right? So he was like, so all right, let me prepare you to it. So he came and he got a gallon of gas and chainsaw, right? A chainsaw, put it over there, and he's like, all right, here's the equipment that's being prepared. It's getting the equipment that you need in order to do the action. See, so many times in life, we want to accomplish so many things in life, but we don't have the equipment, we don't have the tools in order to reach that we are planning. So many people want plans, all this, make these big plans, but they don't have the tools in order to get it done. We need to be prepared. Go get the tools. Back to the story. They got me the tools. You're prepared. Now you got to get ready. And get ready is being fit to use the tools, right? It's knowing how to use the tools. It's understanding how the tools work and so on and so forth. So the guy said, all right, Sam, you got it. So here you go, start cutting the tree. So I got the chainsaw and I put it on my leg to start it. The guy, Sam, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I was just checking things out. He's like, no way, you were going to start that, weren't you? No, I was not going to. Yeah, I was going to start it. Yeah, that. He's like, have you ever used this? And then I had to come through, right? No, I do not know how to use it. Never used one before. I almost cut my leg, man. I'll be limping here today, right? So here's the thing. So many of us, we are not prepared. We are not ready to accomplish the goals that we have done. After we pray, after we ask for God's will and discernment, we are just not prepared our feet in order to accomplish that what we have in our hearts. And we fail. Proverbs is telling us, listen, before you go on acting, before you go on building, why don't you get prepared yourself? Go get the tools. Why don't you learn how to use the tools in order to be able to do what you have proposed to do in your heart? Every aspect of life, in your spiritual life, in your physical life, in your health life, in your relationships. I tell you, there are a lot of single people who want to get married. And I was like, that's cool, but they are not prepared or fit to get married. A lot of people want to get a raise and get that promotion, but you're not prepared and you're not fit to that promotion. Get yourself ready for that promotion before asking God for the promotion or your boss for the promotion. Because when you get the promotion and you fail and you get fired, who you blame? You blame God. Or you gave me what I couldn't handle. Prepare. Get ready. Build. But then, and it's not only there, it's in Proverbs 21, verse 5. There's a couple of good wisdom here too for us. Don't you love Proverbs? I love Proverbs. And one of these days, I'm going to preach a year on Proverbs because there's so much wisdom there. Okay? This is what it says. Plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. I mean, I love the little word diligence. So he says, the plans of the diligent. I love that word, and I like to use the word intentionality. It's the same word. It be intentional, right? Those who are diligent, diligence, intentionality leads to abundance. Leads to abundance. Let me tell you this. I can't express this enough, right? So many times we are living like hasty. Well, let me do this. But then the other part is this, right? Hasty leads to poverty. So diligent leads to abundance. Hasty leads to poverty, right? So many of us, we are not intentional about life, and we're living miserable lives. We are not intentional in our marriage, so we're living in terrible marriages. We're not intentional about taking our spouse into a date or to appreciating them or to understanding their personality or their love language and applying that things into our lives, into their lives. They talk and we don't listen. We're not intentional about anything. Work. I mean, if you want to succeed in life, you must be intentional. You gotta be diligent. That's what the Word of God tells us. Diligence will lead you to abundance. But hastiness, being hasty, comes only to poverty. Listen, we live in a fast-paced world. Isn't that true? I mean, we are encouraged to live hasty lives. Isn't that what it is? Like, do it fast. It doesn't matter the quality. It doesn't matter anything. Just get it done, please. The Bible tells us otherwise. Take the time, pray about it, seek God's will, be intentional, be prepared, get ready, and then go on doing the actions that you have proposed in your heart to do. Let me finish my part of this sermon by reading to you Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and 33, and this is in the voice version. This is what it says. Just imagine that you want to build a tower. Wouldn't you first sit down and estimate the cost to be sure you have enough to finish what you have started? If you lay the foundation but can't afford to finish the tower, everyone will mock you. Look at the guy who started something that he couldn't finish. Or imagine a king gearing up for war, to go to war. Wouldn't he begin by sitting down with his advisors to determine whether his 10,000 troops could defeat the opponent's 20,000 troops? If not, he'll send a peace delegation quickly and negotiate a peace treaty. In the same way, if you want to be my disciple, it will cost you everything. Don't underestimate the cost. Listen, the Bible is clear that to be a disciple of Jesus, it will cost you a lot. So many of us, we go into Christianity in hastiness, right? We are not intentional about how you live our Christian life, and we are living horrible Christian life. We're still living a Christian life, but it's horrible, it's miserable in it, right? It's because sometimes you're not intentional, or because we really don't know the cost. There's always a cost for intentionality. There's always a cost for the plans that you have for yourself. There's a cost and benefit for everything in life. I think Jesus teaches us a teaching here, or message here, principle, that's the word, a very important principle. And the principle is this: plan and count the cost for the resolutions you are determined to accomplish. Listen, I don't know what you have thought of for 2019 or what you have set yourself to do for 2019. I don't know if that is in spiritual life, or physical life, or your health, or emotion. I don't know what part, but we all have had some resolutions, some things that we want to see done. So before you go on acting, count the cost. Determine the cost and benefit for that which you are proposed to do in your heart. But not only that, follow with discipline. Discipline, it is required if you're going to improve and implement your life. So I would like to introduce to you Kyle Reed. He's a friend of mine. We went to college together. He's a very successful businessman in Nashville, Tennessee. He has a couple of companies. He's a great organizer. A lot of the things that I have been trying to implement in my life comes from him, and it is with a great pleasure that I introduce you to him. Let's take some time and listen to him.
Let me tell you a little bit about where we're going today, because I know this is probably a little bit different than your normal Sunday mornings. First off, my name is Kyle, and I'm happy to be here with you, and I wanted to be with you in person. When Sam asked me to do this, I was pumped. I said, tell me the date. I am there. And then my wife reminded me about something I probably can't miss. That would be my daughter's first birthday.
Aww.
Today, we are celebrating my daughter's 1-year birthday at our house in the next couple hours. And so I thought, what better way to at least be able to join you in person than through this video. Now, the great thing about this is that this gives us an opportunity to maybe talk about it in a different way, about goals, about planning. And my hope is that I can share with you some things that you might not have heard before, but on some ways that I goal set and I plan my year. At the end of our time, my desired goal for you is that you have a plan of accomplishment that helps you move from wishes to resolutions and helps you follow through on what those things are. Now, the word impact is a big one, right? You guys have been talking about it the last couple weeks and can probably maybe feel the weight of it. One thing about impact that's so fascinating and so great is that it starts small. Think about with a fire. You know, fire, you don't throw a big log on a fire right away. No, you start with kindling. You start with some sticks. You start with some things that kind of move you forward and get you going. And that's the same with impact. Impact isn't, it's not a thing that goes right away. It's not something that you just start with and keep moving forward. And so today, one of the big things that I want to keep focusing on is, what does impact look like for you in starting small? And there's some tools that I want to talk about that I think will be really impactful for you. If you like that, impactful for you, that will be great. So let's dive into a little bit more of that. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy that I love, and it provides me a lot of encouragement. And it's in chapter 1, verse 7, and it says this. It says, God has given us not a spirit of fear. There's no fear here, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that what the Lord has put in you is to remind you, just like Romans 8 says, is that he already knows the path ahead of you and that he's given you a helper. And the helper not only goes along with you, but they work things for your good. So the Lord is at work. And so today I'm excited to dive into some tools that I use every single day, and I think they'll impact you. But I'm also just excited to dream with you a little bit. I'm excited to talk about, how do we take a wish to a resolution, and how do we follow through on this? You ever uttered the phrase, a new year, a new you? Yeah, it's a little cheesy to say. But there's something about a new year that gives us fresh starts. And we love fresh starts. If you think about it, there are things that we know we need to do, but we might like put it off till maybe like a Monday, or next month I'll do that. Or man, January 1st is a great time for me to go on a diet. It's a pretty typical feeling to need something to help us to start. It's why there's a starting gate, the gun that goes off. Whatever it is signifies that the race, it's begun. It's time to move forward. It's Pro Bowl Sunday, which means we are 1 week away from Super Bowl Sunday. Now, I'm filming this before the game has happened, but I sure hope that the Rams are in it. Go Rams, I'm a big Rams. Please, go to the Super Bowl! He made it! He made it! He made it! We're going to the Super Bowl! He made it! We're going to the Super Bowl! We're going to the Super Bowl! But in this instance, why is it that the Super Bowl is watched more than the Pro Bowl? It's the same thing. It's football. It's on a Sunday. In fact, you could argue that it's better football because there's better players. The best of the best are playing in the games. So why is it that nowhere near as many people will watch the Pro Bowl as the Super Bowl? Well, one reason, and you probably already know the answer. It's not competitive. The Super Bowl, though, is the biggest of the biggest. It's the biggest game of the year, all because you're playing for one thing. You're playing for the finish. You're playing for the trophy. It's the same reason why we won't watch preseason football. There's really no point. Unless you're a diehard fan, you're not gonna watch the games because there's really no point in watching them because they don't matter. We love to have things and do things that matter. And the way we measure that, the way we measure something, is the end result, the finish. Having a measure into something allows you to play the game. So when you're making a resolution, you're saying, this is what I want to finish on. I want to start, but I also want to finish because that's the goal. That's how I want to end things. That's why when I start a new year, I always start at the end of the new year. It goes something like this. I write in my journal, on December 31st, 2019, what do I want to feel? I always begin at the end. And so that's the first thing I want to encourage you to do. Think about the end. Think about what do you want to feel December 31st, 2019. Some of you might have heard of Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. I call this reverse engineering. You want to think about, what do you want to feel? How do you want your year to be characterized? What do you want to see in the end, at the finish line? And then you want to think about that and work backwards. So let me share you a little bit about what I wrote for 2019. Let me read that to you. On December 31st, 2019, I want to have specific memories, moments, and things to point to that shows progress. The end of 2019 will be characterized with my feeling of accomplishment in my faith, my family, and my personal well-being. It will show that I have grown. So the first step you want to do is write down, if you have a piece of paper or maybe you're watching this some other way, is just to write down, how do you want 2019 to end? Write it down. What do you want to feel? What do you want it to be marked by? What do you want to be able to look back and go, this has been a really good year because of this? This is important in this first stage, because what you're doing is you're writing down the end result. And then what we're going to do is we're going to work backwards. We're going to start there. And then we're going to ask questions of, well, if that's where I want to go, how do I get there? Now, to get to December 31st, we're going to have to put a plan together to help us get there. And I do that in two ways. First, I break down my year in buckets. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then I break my year down in chapters. The way I like to think about it, rather than getting overwhelmed with these big, lofty grandeur ideas, I try to break them down into chapters. Because I look at my life, especially 2019, and I look at it as just a part of my story. It's not my full story. It's a moment in time of my story. And the way I like to think about that is I like to think about it in chapters. I remember my freshman year of college, I was doing the normal freshman thing. My parents were helping me move in. I got my room all set up. I was ready to go. It was kind of time for my parents to leave. And I remember my dad looking at me and saying, hey, son, I'm proud of you and I'm excited for you. And I just want you to know that you're closing a previous section of your life and you're starting a new one. And this is chapter one. And it's important how you tell this section of your story. That was impactful for me. Knowing that my life was not just a big grand picture of things, but there was moments of my life that told my story. And that was the start of a new chapter. So that's how I like to think about my year. I like to come up with my buckets and I like to come up with my chapters. So the way I broke out my year is this way, is I think of my year as five chapters. So if you have chapter one, which would be January to March. So again, where your piece of paper's at, or if you're just doing some mental notes, think about it this way. If you have five chapters, write down January to March. And then we're going to write down April to June. And then we're going to write down July to September. And then we're going to write down September to October. And then we're going to write down November to December. And there's our year. 10-week chunks of our chapters. And what you're going to do in those 10 weeks is you're going to think about, remember, we're working backwards. You're going to think about, what do you want those chapters to tell? What story, the story of the year, how is that chapter going to set up? I mentioned earlier, I talked about buckets. Buckets are big for me because I like to think about my goals and my ideas around buckets. Categories, whatever you want to, whatever you want to call them, sections, is totally up to you. I call them buckets. So my three buckets of focus are my health, my growth, and my family. And these are just three things that I'm going to kind of put all of my goals and ideas, and I'm going to put them inside of there. Now, I like numbers. I like making things symmetrical and work. So in these three buckets, you're also going to put three things that you want to accomplish. So for instance, let me talk about my health. My health breaks down into three categories. It breaks down into like my physical health, and then breaks down into my spiritual health, And then it also breaks down into my personal health. So physical health, just naturally like wanting to be more healthy. So that might be exercise goals. That might be running goals. That might be weight loss goals. And then in my spiritual health, I want to set up some goals where maybe I want to read through the Bible this year or memorize some scripture. Or maybe there's a numerical goal to how many times I want to witness to people and invite them to church. And then the last one is my personal health. I have a goal of like, I want to read 30 books this year. I want to take on some other challenges. One of the things I wrote down, I want to go on a trip with my wife, just me and her on a planned trip. So the way I like to think about it is I have my three large buckets, right? It was my health, my growth, and my family. And then inside of those individual things is I break them down into three categories. And then once you break down, so like the first one, my exercise, I have goals inside of that. Same with the next one, spiritual, goals inside of that. Now, the reason this is important that you want to take these buckets is you want to take them so that they're going to now go into your chapters. So I hope you're still with me. I hope this isn't confusing. It works great for me, and I think it will make sense more as you see it. But as you look at it, think about it this way. As they're going into your chapters, you're now going to go, okay, so from January to March, I just want to focus on, let's rewind back. Maybe it's like, hey, this year I want to lose 40 pounds, okay? This is just a real practical way to think about it. I want to lose 40 pounds. So that number is a large number, and it feels like you got to do it like by next week, okay? But you don't. If you think about it in chapters, okay, if you lose 7 to 8 pounds for every 10 weeks, by the end of the year, you'll be down 40 pounds. So rather than go the large number and say by December 31st, I'm going to lose 40 pounds, and then that's the only thing you focus on, no, you go from January to March, I just need to lose 8 pounds. I think we can do that. I think you can do that. That's 10 weeks to get to 8 pounds. And then the next month, the same thing. I want to lose 10 pounds. And maybe that month you say, hey, from April to June, I'm going to join a gym. That's my goal this month. I'm going to join a gym. So you can see how this gets real practical for every area of your life. So let's step back. Think about your year as chapters. There's 5 chapters to your year, is the way I break them down, of 10 weeks each. You might be wondering that math is not correct. I know that. I like to give 2 weeks of grace in there, maybe for Christmas or family vacation. So I digress. But 10 weeks, okay, 5 chapters, and then you're going to just start pulling from your buckets. You're going to start putting things into those chapters. Again, it helps you not to feel overwhelmed. It helps you not to feel like you are alone and that you can't get it all done because you've, like most people, they try to get all their New Year's resolutions done in January. Because the real challenge is this. The challenge for you and me is that we know that when we start out something, we have a lot of momentum. But then like come April, like things happen. And maybe you have an event that happens in your life that pulls you away from that goal. And then you give up. You quit. It's easy to quit in those moments. I don't want you to quit. I want you to get momentum and keep moving forward. Now, as you start a goal, there will be this thing that creeps up. You've probably experienced it before. It's this little thing called fear. We've all experienced fear, right? And fear comes from this place, this idea called limiting beliefs. Now, a limiting belief is something that you believe about yourself, and it's a very core thing. It's very inside of you. A limiting belief comes from your core identity, and the sole purpose of a limiting belief is to protect you, because a limiting belief usually speaks to the core of your identity. It goes deep. And a limiting belief is something that's very easy to hold us back. You've probably experienced limiting beliefs before. We all have. And so when a limiting belief comes around your goals, there's a couple things that you need to do to protect against that. And the first most important thing is you just need to name them. Take out a piece of paper, think in your head, but write down, what are these limiting beliefs that you could be believing? Let me give you one for me. One for me is that I won't succeed. So anytime I set out to do something, I have a limiting belief that I can't do it, that I will fail, that I won't make it. And so once you write out what your limiting beliefs are, the next thing you want to do is you want to write out, where did it come from? Where did you pick this up? For me, it started as a kid. There are often moments in my life of where fear would creep in and I would worry that I can't do this. I can't make it. I need to give up. I need to quit. The next thing you need to do is you need to ask, is this true? Ask the Lord, hey, is this true about me? Is this true about who I am and what I've done? Simply asking that question out loud kind of helps you see that this is a limiting belief and it's not a real fear. And then the last thing that I suggest you do is write down worst case scenario. Now that sounds a little counterintuitive, but I think it's important for us to acknowledge that something could happen here, that if we go after this, something could not go right, or we could not make it. But acknowledging that out loud and saying that out loud helps us to plan and not and kind of name our fears in ways that we don't have to worry about anymore. Acknowledging the worst case scenario kind of takes the power away from a living belief. Why is it important that we do this? It's important that we acknowledge limiting beliefs, because the only thing that's holding you back from doing your goals or going after what you desire is you. It's not circumstances, it's not people, it's not resources, it's you. And so the faster that we can acknowledge limiting beliefs and get them past and keep moving forward, the faster that we can keep moving and going after what the Lord has put in our hearts. So as I finish this video and I'm here editing it, I didn't really know how to finish, so I just kind of ended it. And I thought I would just take this final moment to just really encourage you, to tell you that I believe that the Lord is going to use you and your church very powerfully this year. I know the Lord has created each one of you to be a member of the body of the church and is going to use you in ways that you could never imagine. And so I just pray and ask that you just keep moving forward, that we take this stuff and that we take the impact that we're going to make and we do our absolute best by the God's grace that we can do this. And so I thought, you know, a couple hundred miles away here, that I would pray for you to end our time together. I would pray for you and to just encourage you. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. What an opportunity to just get together in a way that I've never gotten together with the church before, and I'm assuming most have not, but just the opportunity to have a dialogue about what you've called us to here this year. I pray over this church, this community, and I just pray that, Lord, that you will give them a vision that will impact those around them. I pray that you help them to stay faithful. I pray that you help them to confront the fears and the lies that will creep in, and I pray that you help them to hold on to the truth. We're just so thankful for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your Son, the blessing that he gives us each and every day. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and guides us in this time. Thank you again. We love you. Amen. Thanks for having me. Like I said, if you have any questions, I would love to chat more. You can email me, call me. I don't know. Is that weird that I give you my email? It's kylelreed@gmail.com. I would love to chat with you more. But again, thanks for watching, and maybe I'll see you again next time. We'll see. I'm going to go back to editing this though, okay?